Dave Ramsey fan. I really am. Give every dollar a name and tell it where to go. That's what you do. Pauline and I followed the plan for several years and got it going and figured it out, and it took a while, but my goal was, and I got into this kind of late. I didn't do it early enough. I should have. But my goal was to retire debt-free. Everything paid off. Mortgage paid off. And praise God we did, on a pastor's salary. That's a miracle. But it really works. I really encourage you. Boy, so much stuff going on around here. You can go to Africa. You can pray. You can take classes. You can do all sorts of stuff. This is a happening place. This is lots of energy and life. And it isn't just about coming to church on Sunday. It's about being part of a community of people who love God and love each other. And this is, I like this. The one thing I don't know about you folks, I need to hear about your pets. Okay, we got any dog people here today? No, don't be shy. Hold up your hand. You got any people who have dogs? You like your dog?
Yes.
Okay, anybody here have more than one dog?
Yes.
Whoa! Bunch of dog breeders around here. Anybody with more than three dogs? Okay, that's a prayer request. Right there. That's it. You know, the dog breed of choice in our home has always been a corgi. You know, little corgi. Pauline and I have had a corgi mix and a full-bred corgi, but I'm not even sure you can count these as dogs. It looks more like a fluffy collar on a winter coat or something, or a fluffy earmuffs. But this is the kind of dog we like, and I also like silly dog jokes. I read a silly dog joke. I got to share it with you. It said a three-legged dog limps into a saloon, sidles up to the bar, says, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw." Isn't that stupid? There's a lot more, but I won't waste your time with them. We have any cat people here today? Well, there's a few, not many. You folks who raised your hand, I know for a fact that you don't own a cat. That cat owns you. Cats are so independent and so full of themselves that if you have a cat in your home, we know who's in charge. But cat people are really, really loyal. I understand that, and that's a good thing. I was at the grocery store the other day, and a couple of ladies were visiting behind me, and I heard one of them say, "My husband's allergic to the cat. Had to get rid of him." And she said, "Oh, your cat? No, my husband." Cat people are loyal. But we're not going to talk about cats and dogs today. We're going to talk about geese. All right? I love National Geographic specials, those documentaries about nature and about animals, and I'm serious. I watched one not too long ago about geese, and as they unpacked this thing and talked about geese and their life cycles and their habits and their characteristics and their behaviors, I'm sitting there thinking, man, there are so many good teaching points in here. This would make a great sermon. And I'm watching about geese, and I'm learning about geese, and when the program was over, I Googled about geese, and I just learned so much about geese. And so I want to share with you five facts today about geese that I think are applicable to our spiritual life, to our walk with the Lord, to our relationships in the church. And so get out your pens, folks. You're ready to, but let's talk first about this picture here. You know, just this week I saw geese flying south, and I'm hoping they know something that we aren't experiencing. It's been way too hot here, but I saw a V of geese, and I noticed that, you know how a lot of times when you're seeing geese fly in the V formation, you'll notice that one line of the V is longer than another. Have you seen that just like that? You know what that means? You know what the significance of that is? It means there's more geese on that one side. That's, you can just take it to the bank. That's exactly what that means. But here we go. What are some good teaching points? And maybe even what does the Bible have to show us and teach us that we can learn from geese? Now, fact number one. I got something else to do. Back that off. Go back to the last slide. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's lay a good biblical foundation for our time together this morning. 1 Corinthians 12. And in here, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's going to take our physical bodies and the parts of our physical bodies, and he's going to relate it to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is you and me. It's the church. It's the people of God. It's the family of God. So let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll begin with verse 12. It says, the body is a unit. Your body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, it forms one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? So many parts to our bodies. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. You are put together the way you are because God designed it for you. He's put it together. He's put you together exactly like He wants you to be. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, fact number one. When the lead goose tires, it rotates back into the formation, and another goose takes its place at the point position. No goose is more important or less important than any other. And they all work together, sharing the load, helping each other out. Sometimes one goose out front, the other's back in the formation, the lead goose gets tired, another one comes up, takes the point. Everybody doing their part. Now, for us, we're all different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different personalities and different temperaments. No two of us are exactly alike. We all have different spiritual gifts. My grandma used to say, many hands make light work. And what she was saying was to her six grandkids, get up there and start cleaning the table and clearing the table and doing the dishes, and you're going to wash, you're going to rinse, you're going to dry, you're going to put them away. Many hands make light work. She also used to say a burden shared is half a burden. Does that make sense? Sometimes I'll be the strong one, and I can help carry you. And sometimes you'll be the strong one. And when I'm struggling, you can help carry me. We need each other in the body of Christ. We are dependent on each other. No goose is more important or less important than another. And none of us are more important or less important than anybody else. The key is Ephesians 4:16. That would be the next slide. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. You are a supporting ligament. Say it out loud. I am a supporting ligament in the body of Christ. And so it grows and builds itself up in love as each part, as each goose, as each Christian at Bethel Nazarene does their part and does their work. Okay, that's fact number one. Let's look at fact number two. As each goose flaps in formation, it creates an uplift for the geese that follow. And by flying in that V formation, the folks who study this kind of stuff have come up with the fact that the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than if each bird was flying alone. People who share a common direction and a sense of community could get where they're going a whole lot easier when they're going together than when they're trying to go by themselves. We're better together as folks in the church, working together, helping and encouraging one another, recognizing that we really do need each other. We can accomplish so much more together for the kingdom of God than any one of us could ever accomplish individually. God's plan is for us to grow and to prosper within the context of a community, working with each other, working for each other, pulling for each other, lifting all of us, blessed and helped when we're in this thing together. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and he said, make my joy complete. This should be Philippians 2, chapter verse 2. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. Okay, now that doesn't mean you all have to think alike. We're not looking for, you know, mindless, just follow the lead. All of us see things differently, approach things differently, work through things differently. But we can have the same love. We can be one in spirit. We can be one in purpose, even though we're all very different. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. We're talking about our relationship with each other in the body of Christ at Bethel Nazarene. See, it's not about me, it's about we when it comes to the body of Christ. God's plan is for us to function within the context of community. Okay, fact number three. Fact number three says, when a goose falls out of formation, when it's no longer in the V, and you've seen them kind of wander off, if you've watched them, they feel the drag and resistance of flying alone, quickly moves back into the formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the birds around it. And if we have as much sense as a goose, we need to stay in formation and keep headed where we want to go together, willing to accept the help of those around us and be able to give help to those around us. Simply, God doesn't want you doing this on your own. You're not going to do any good at all if you're flying alone. God never intended any of us to live our spiritual lives in isolation. You know, one of Satan's most successful strategies is to get you away from the flock, is to get you isolated, is to get you off by yourself, flying solo. That was the thing that I hated most about COVID. COVID separated us. COVID shut some things down to where we couldn't even meet together. Or at least we weren't supposed to, but many of us did anyway. Why? Because we needed to be together. We wanted to be together. We didn't want to be out there isolated and alone and solo. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let's get together and encourage each other and bless each other and pray for each other and carry one another and lift each other. You know, this is a really important meeting right here. When we come and we worship and we sing and we pray collectively and we hear the Word of God preached. But, you know, in this setting right here, there's not much communication going on except me doing all the talking. You know, this is a monologue and you're supposed to be listening. And most of you are still awake and some of you are taking notes. But that's why not only a meeting like this where we're assembled together, but that's why it's so important, like, to be involved in a Sunday school class or a Bible study or a small group or a prayer group or a men's group or a women's group where you all get to share together and talk and pray and encourage and bless. And here's another cool verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one may be overpowered, two together can defend themselves, and a triple braided cord or a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So there's strength and encouragement for the geese in flying together, and there's strength and encouragement for us when we stick with the rest of the gooses in your church. Fact number four. The geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep up the formation speed. I thought that was funny. I mean, I've heard the geese when they're flying just honk, 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 you know, just making all that racket and noise. I had no idea all that noise had a purpose with the geese. It really is to encourage the other geese, and especially the ones up front. So the question here this morning at Bethel Nazarene is, what are you honking to each other? What's coming out of your beaks? You honking positive, encouraging, uplifting, edifying, kinds of things. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. You can speak life, or you can crush someone with your words. If you're at all like me, there have been times where something's come out of your mouth, and immediately you go, oh my word, I wish I could take that back. Because you see what it does or did to the person that you're talking to. Those who live by it will eat its fruit. What goes around comes around, and what comes around goes around. And if your habit is to speak harshly and unkindly and sharply and negatively, that's what it's going to breed in your home, in your workplace, in your church. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And I know that every single one of you here today, including me, has had their spirit crushed by words that just literally broke your spirit. And that is not part of God's plan. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, a harsh word stirs up anger. Negative, harsh, unkind, mean, hurtful words are just like pouring gasoline on the fire. Colossians 4:6, Paul writes to the church and says, let your conversation be full of grace. You know, and that doesn't happen by accident. That's intentional. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If my heart's not right, I'm going to say some things I regret. So it's a call to be in tune with God and to make sure our hearts are right and clean before Him. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Conversations full of grace, seasoned with salt. What does salt do? It makes things better and richer and tastier. It's a preservative. It holds things together. Hebrews 10:4. Let's consider how we can spur one another on. That's what the geese are doing. They're literally, by their honking, spurring one another along. And we can do the same thing. You know, people respond so much better to encouragement and positive affirmation than they do criticism. And you know, we're talking about the church, the body of Christ, but I'll tell you, I'm old enough, been married for 53 years and raised kids and grandkids. This is something I had to learn to pay attention to as it related to my family. You know, if we don't get it right with our family, it's not going to work well anywhere else. But sometimes it's our families that seem to get the brunt of our dysfunctional things. And so the challenge is, Lord, help me to live it first in my own home, and then in my workplace, and then in my church, and then in my community and my neighborhood. Okay, I've beat that goose to death. Fact number 5, when a goose gets sick, goes down, gets grounded, or drops out somehow of the formation, 2 other geese drop out to help protect the injured or the hurt or the sick goose. And they stay with that goose and later join another formation or catch up with their flock until things have been resolved. Man, that's That's something. That is something. I didn't know that. I knew that I had read that geese mate for life, but I didn't know that when one drops out, others come alongside. How are we doing caring for the wounded and the hurting and the weak and the broken at Bethel Nazarene? Do we stand together in the difficult times, the painful times, the times when you just can't do it on your own? Are we there for folks, compassionate, caring, supporting each other? Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that's an interesting phrase, the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Is it the Ten Commandments? No, not necessarily. We don't really have to guess. They came to Jesus one time and said, what's the most important stuff in the whole Bible? And Jesus said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you will fulfill all the laws and the teaching of the prophets. With just those two things, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the community of faith that you're a part of as much as you love yourself, and you will have crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. Do unto others, Jesus said, as you would have them do unto you. Treat people like you want to be treated. John 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus is talking about himself right there, because he knew he was going to literally do that. Jesus was going to lay down his life for his friends. He was going to die, not just for them, but for us, for the salvation of the world. But can I tell you, Jesus doesn't want you to die for your friends, for your church folks. He wants you to live for them. You can take that thing, lay down his life, to also mean lay aside my comfort, my convenience, my agenda, my plan, so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Laying aside in order to love and serve and minister to your friends. I want to show you this next slide here. This is such an amazing story. Happened in Massachusetts at an animal hospital last year. And somebody had found an injured goose laying by the side of the road and had picked it up, taken to the animal hospital. And so the staff at the hospital began to work on this goose, had it laid out on a table, and was, you know, and all of a sudden they heard a tapping at the door. And they looked up, and there was another goose tapping on the glass door because its partner was on the table. And at first they didn't realize what was going on. They tried to shoo the goose away. They sent somebody out, get that goose away, it's distracting. Boom, 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 get the goose away. Goose kept coming back, would not leave. Tapping on that window. And I don't think that goose was tapping on the window to say hi to the doctors or the nurses. It was tapping on the window saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be there for you. Let those dumb doctors fix you, and then we'll fly out of here. Isn't that amazing? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It's this beautiful circle of love. See, God comes to me on his way to somebody else. And God comes to you on his way to somebody else. God does not pour his love and his grace and his mercy and his comfort and his forgiveness into your life just so that you can kind of wrap it up and hoard it and say, oh, I love Jesus and he loves me. No, we do. We say that. But now we're supposed to pass it on to somebody else. We're supposed to serve and minister and love some other goose in our church. I learned so much from geese. God comes to me on his way to somebody else. So can you think of anyone, just as we're sitting here, maybe a face comes to your mind or a name comes to your mind? Anybody God lay on your heart that you know in this moment that you just need to reach out to them? Text, email, phone call, personal visit, invite them out for coffee. Just, how you doing? God laid you on my heart. I've been thinking about you. How you doing? Maybe somebody that's sitting here today is the person you need to reach out to. Maybe it's somebody who isn't here today and you need to reach out to them. Maybe it's somebody who isn't even part of this church and God is laying them on your heart right now while I'm honking like a goose and he's saying, I would love for you to reach out and connect. And maybe even be a bringer like Jonathan Rigby or Andrew, like we talked about last week. You see, geese get it. And we can too, if we just let the Lord work in our hearts. Here's your homework assignment. Romans chapter 12. I want you to read this with me out loud when we get that. I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Isn't that good stuff? I give you permission to jot down that reference, Romans 12, 10 to 13, and maybe read through that this week. And as you're reading it, say, Lord, motivate me to follow through with the person you laid on my heart in church on Sunday to make that connection. Now, I had a nightmare last night where at the end of the message I said, now go and goose someone. And so I made a note, do not say that. That's a nightmare, it's not a dream, it's not from the Lord, you just don't need to say that. Okie doke. But stand with me if you would please for the benediction. May we learn the lessons that God planted instinctively and inherently in geese. May we recognize that our Creator placed the same capacity for love and grace and goodness and kindness and comfort in us as well. May we embrace the call to love God with all our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. And may Bethel Church prosper, because just like the geese get it, we get it too. God, I pray that you would take the lessons we can learn from nature and from your creation that we can apply as the body of Christ to minister to one another, to love one another, to care for one another, to be there for one another. God, there's many parts in the body, none more important or less important than any other. And may we be your hands and your feet and your honking voice of encouragement into the hearts and lives of others. And I pray this in Jesus' name, as all God's people said. Amen. God bless you.